Good evening, everybody.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Dreadfish.
Good evening, everybody. It's 6:30 Eastern Time, and you're listening to Radio RF. I'm Dreadfish, not here with my co-host, ETOJ. Unfortunately, ET is not with us, but he will be back next episode. He's just busy today, and I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, so we decided to make today a bit of a retrospective episode. So I pulled an episode from our old podcast, which we've talked about a few times, called Pondering Nomads. In this episode, we interview RF member Sagetree. He talks a little bit about his experiences in, and I believe, Eastern Christianity and some of his spirituality. So we'll get to that here in a few. So as far as a little bit of banter, this past weekend, my current band had a gig. It was just a small morning gig at a festival a couple hours away. It was a hippie festival, you know, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, it was 11 o'clock in the morning, and as hippie festivals go, people stay up late drinking and doing drugs. And so there weren't a whole lot of people there, you know, to listen whenever we actually got there. But it was still fun. It was nice to play. Our band has a really crappy drum set. I got to play a nice little Yamaha custom set, natural wood, no finish, nice bass. It was pretty good. So that's mostly what's going on right now. Finals, all of you people who are in school understand. There's a lot to do. Fortunately, most of my classes are over with. So right now, I'm just waiting on one of these tracks to finish loading. Got a little bit behind. I only knew about 15 minutes ago that we would have to do this, and so I was getting this episode cut up a little bit. We previously didn't realize we weren't supposed to use copyrighted material, and so this had a couple songs which were copyrighted. So I had to get them cut out, put a little break in there, that sort of thing. And we won't have any segments today. This is just going to be a different episode all around. It's just one of those days, you know. So for the most part, we'll listen to this episode here in a few minutes, whenever it loads, and we'll take a short break for a little bit more banter. If anybody cares to call in, you're totally welcome to anytime. The number is 646-200-4733. That's 646-200-4733. According to websites, I have about 50 seconds left until that clip uploads. We'll see. There's not really much to talk about while things are loading. As you guys know, Blog Talk Radio is a little bit buggy. Had a false start there at the beginning. Ah, okay. We have a caller. This is a lifesaver. All right.
Hey.
You're on Radio RF. Who's this?
This is Well Named.
Hey, Well Named. Good to see you.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. A little bit under the weather. I'm got a little bit of sore throat. I guess it's just a little, a little throat bug. Should be okay, but I'm tired. Just kind of bleh, you know?
Yeah, I know how it is. That's not a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So, fortunately, I don't get sick.
I'm kind of like that today, too. I spent the whole weekend doing gardening work and building a little rock wall and planting trees. And so it's like Monday, go back to work. Spend the whole day just staring off into space, resting.
Yeah.
Work is where I go to relax.
Yeah, it seems today's just one of those days. With our band practice today, we usually do. Our lead guitarist couldn't really make it. He had, you know, final stuff, like I mentioned, and none of us were really feeling it. I'm just tired and feeling kind of bleh, and so, you know, we ended early. It's just one of those days.
As we have said, if you read any good threads on the forum lately?
No, actually, I haven't really done much on the forum at all. In fact, besides get in the chat room here and there and do stuff about the show. So actually, I haven't read any threads.
I was falling behind myself. I was hoping you would tell me something. You're no good at this, Dreadfish. You're supposed to give me something to read. I guess it's very predictable the things I read anyway. I always end up just reading things in like the mysticism dir. But I guess we've covered that. It's so much length. But I'm not predictable.
Yeah, I made a point to stay away from the debate section for a long time, and so for a while I would only post in the general section and in the Dharmic DIR, and so now I just haven't really posted anywhere, so you know.
I wonder how that happens. It seems like there's a whole bunch of posters who almost, they're not actually posters, they're just like around from the past, or they're only in chat. It's kind of fascinating, the ecosystem of RF.
Yeah, it is interesting. There are still a lot of people, a lot of old-timers around, though a lot of them have left, especially after the forum changed. But, interesting ecosystem. So we've got our episodes loaded, and we'll go ahead and go to that. Maybe in a little while you might call back in, we might banter a little bit more.
Actually, I gotta go.
All right. Well, have a good evening, and hope you have a good one.
Yep.
Are you too? Okie dokie. So we'll go ahead and go to our first part of our segment. This is from Itty and my old podcast from 2 years ago called Pondering Nomads. And in this episode, we interview RF member Sagetree.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Pondering Nomads. That was a song by Bob Marley, and it was called Pass It On, and I don't own any of the rights. Anyways, we just had our guest a second ago. Oh, here he is. Everyone is here. Hello, Dredd. Hello, Ben.
You got me, bud?
Hey.
Yep.
All right, then.
Okay. So, obviously, tonight's episode is about Ben, and you might know him as Sagetree. And we're very excited to have him on. We're going to talk about various spiritual and like mystical topics, and various houses of worship and like ways to worship. And it should be pretty enlightening. Obviously, I'm kind of tired today, guys. I had to be at work at 3 this morning. And we got hit by the snowstorm. It turned out not to be as bad as expected. So thank you, Peter, the storm, for not slamming into my area. I actually haven't heard anything from the rest of the state, so I've been at work all day. And then I spent the rest of the day preparing for this show. And so, yeah, did you guys get any snow?
No. The weather's been the same as usual around here.
Got a little dusting up here in New Brunswick. Not much, though.
No, I know New Jersey, where I live, got slammed by the hurricane. And my area wasn't too bad, but, I mean, in my town, it's going to be going on 2 weeks without, you know, school. Tomorrow's the first day, and it would have been, like, the full, complete second week. So, like, a day under 2 weeks, and you're just going back to school. And another shore is just ravaged. How did you guys fare? Did you have any problems with the hurricane?
Yeah, just wet and rainy up here. I should clarify, I'm in New Brunswick, Canada, not New Brunswick, New Jersey.
and down here in North Carolina, we had, the hurricane pulled cold weather down here, and now it seems to have stayed for the winter, so all the hot weather's gone. So it got cold and it rained for a little while, but otherwise it's been pretty fair.
Okay. Now I know the elections just happened here in the States, and Obama won re-election against Romney. And what did you guys think of that?
Well, not too surprising. I'm not too enthusiastic or disappointed either. I'm relatively indifferent, frankly.
to hear that. I'd rather have seen, like, third parties, and I hope to see third parties. And I think in, like, a couple of weeks, I'm going to have someone on to talk about, like, third parties. And they might get me to excited with someone else and there's a little bit more.
Yeah, I would like a third party candidate to become president.
That's one thing I like about politics up here is there are multiple parties that form governments, but it's not just one or the other. Sometimes they have to form a majority, which is kind of cool. The different parties have to put down their extremes and get together. So it doesn't always move things forward fast, but it feels like a good way to be represented.
Yeah, I kind of envious. Now, how do people in Canada feel about the elections?
I think they follow it closer than I do. As somebody from the States, I think they're more concerned about it than I was at times, because they'd always be asking me what was up and what was happening, and I don't know. I didn't really follow it that much. I figured what was gonna happen. My mind wasn't really gonna be changed, and I wasn't really out there lobbying for anybody.
Understandable. Now, you're in Canada right now. That's where you're living, but you're also going to school there, right?
Yeah, I'm going to the local community college here in St. John. And I'm in the human services program there, which is kind of a helping certificate in a way. It's a one-year thing. And I guess the idea is to be on the front line working with people in homes and addictions and on the street, and but you can really take it to a different place and just do a lot of helping work with it. So that's what I intend to try to bring into my spectrum of work.
Okay, it's pretty interesting. Now I actually have some questions, because there's something I kind of want to go investigate, because it keeps popping up in just various places, and that's the Quakers. And, you know, the Church of Friends, and I understand that you've been to some of their services before, and I was hoping you could share that experience with me.
Yeah, when I was at the Unitarian Church, when I was living in Pennsylvania, there was a pretty close group of people that were Quakers who kind of switched back and forth and went to different services, and they were liberal Quakers, so they were pretty open-minded and pretty easygoing about where people's influences came from, a lot like Unitarians are. They do unprogrammed worship, which is sitting down and being still, and sometimes they would sing a song before or after, but it was just sitting there. It was meditative, and they call it expectantly waiting on the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, as it were, or the light, just kind of like a positive force or energy to move somebody to say something or to speak out or recite a piece of scripture. And it's pretty easy going like that. I've never seen anything super off the wall happen. It's just a really nice, pleasant experience.
Now, I'm going to give you some kind of stupid question, but how important, like, is punctuality? Like, is it good to be early on time, or is it okay to, like, walk in late? How long are the services, or how long were the services you went to?
Okay. Well, with the focus on silence, it's kind of nice when everybody shows up a little early, because then there's not doors swinging and clinging and making a bunch of noise when you come into the sanctuary or wherever they happen to be having their service. And I'd say it's about an hour, generally.
Okay, now, you've been to some other church, or, like, houses of worship and temples, and maybe you could tell us some of, where you've been and, like, places you've worshipped.
Well, I grew up in a United Methodist Church, and we had a pretty close bond with the African American Methodist Episcopal Church in town, and that was a very, very different experience. I've heard the Methodist called the Frozen Chosen before. So to go into the African-American Methodist Episcopal Church there was quite a different experience, and in terms of just how the service flowed. But over the years, I've been in the Unitarian Universalist Church in the States, and I've taken part of pagan solstice events and different Buddhist groups, and I had some pretty moving experiences over one Diwali, the Festival of Lights, in the Hindu tradition. And when I was in Eastern Europe, I had a couple cool experiences. I got to go to a Croatian church, or Roman Catholic church, and listen to a mass in Croatian. And when I was in Latvia, I sat through Eastern Orthodox service. But I think that the crown jewel of that trip for me was going to the Blue Mosque for the Fajr prayer at 4:30 in the morning in Istanbul, and lining up beside other people and doing the Muslim dance, I guess you would say, doing that ritual, which was the first time I had prayed in a mosque as well. So that was kind of a big moment for me, I thought. It was neat walking there in the dark through this big, big legendary city, and it was good times. But
experience with a lot of different traditions.
Yeah, yeah, I've done like Native American traditions. There was, while I was in Toronto, they did houses of worship tours. And one year we went to a Jain temple, and a Native American, I guess it would be more of a community center, but they had a lodge set up inside the building where they could do different kinds of ceremonies and things like that. And we also went to a synagogue that year, which was a neat experience. I'd never been in a Reform synagogue before up until that point. And traveled around the States, I saw a Coptic Orthodox church, and I think that was a very neat experience too. A very long four-hour experience in Greek, Arabic, English, and Coptic. So it was like it was pretty crazy trying to even follow where they were at, on what page and what language they were in. But it was neat. I got to talk a lot about icons there with the father working, and that was a really cool experience. I never knew that much about icons before, and they're kind of cool. They're cool little things.
You sound like quite the Sikh.
Excuse me. Adventure.
Now say again, Edie.
Oh, it's just that, you know, Ben sounds like quite the seeker, a bit of an adventurer too. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I like to see what people are up to. I figure it's a neat neat way to get to know people and know yourself, and just cast yourself into the fray and see what happens. The worst that's going to happen is they'll ask you to leave or not be part of the worship, I guess. But I have yet to experience anything like that.
Yeah, I can't really imagine that happening.
No, I mean, I'm not going in there freaking out in their services or doing anything illicit or nuts. I'm very respectful when I walk into these places and kind of tell them a little bit about myself if that's worthwhile. And, yeah, it's always went really well for me. So I think it's a good experience.
Yeah, it seems that as long as a person's respectful and, you know, they're there, they want to experience what's going on, most places are more than happy to have somebody who's interested in their tradition, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's very happy to share. Even, I mean, when I was in Latvia, it was obvious that I was not, I was just hanging out. And there was, like in Croatia, there were language barriers. People were really nice to me, and I didn't even talk to anybody there. I just got into the pew with somebody, and it was obvious that I didn't speak Croatian for anything. But I got up and kneeled and prayed and did all the... I kind of had a feel for it through sitting through Anglican worship, what the different prayers were and the cadence of the service and whatnot. But, yeah, it's if there was places I was going to get asked to move along, it was probably someplace where I wasn't speaking the language, and people were super nice there. So, yeah, it's all good. I encourage people to get into it and check out.
But have you ever worshipped at the temple of my religion?
Potentially. I think chaos magic would open itself up to any particular form of worship would be your worship, would it not?
Well, that is true, but I wouldn't say chaos magic is really my religion. It's more like a practice I do. I think I'd best explain my my religion in song form. So I'm going to play a song for you guys.
All righty.
All right, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Radio RF. Today is a retrospective episode, and we're revisiting an old episode from Iti and my old podcast, Pondering Nomads, in which we interview the RF member, Sage Tree. So speaking of Iti, he is in fact with us here today. So hey, Iti, how's it going?
The real question is this past Iti or present Iti? Can you tell the difference? I don't think so.
Well, compared to the other Iti, I think you're future Iti, but, like, compared to no Iti, you're now Iti.
I think I just might agree. I'm not quite sure what you said.
And he's also driving Iti, as you can hear the sounds in the background. So, yeah, what are you up to, right?
Not being around for today's episode, but things have been changing in my work, so I've been kind of busy with some work stuff and had to stay late. I originally had a coworker who left on maternity leave and decided not to come back. So instead of replacing her, they just had me do the job for several months. And then now they've hired an outside cleaning crew and expanded the amount of areas they clean. And now I clean like high security areas, and they kind of clean the less secure areas. And now I'm in charge of, like, I guess, directing them. Impossible to other things. So it's been interesting. Things are changing for me at work, but hopefully things are looking up. I'm excited, so that's good. But busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully everything works out all right.
Thank you.
I
forgot to mention, by the way, what my religion was at the time, and I suppose still to this day was, it is love. Love is my religion.
Oh, that's nice. The Beatles say all you need is love. However, Corbett disagrees. Huh?
What? You disagree that love is my religion?
Why did what now?
What did she disagree with?
Oh, I was saying, you know, the Beatles say all you need is love. However, Orbit disagrees, you know. You remember in our interview with her, she was saying that, you know, based on... you know, our survival, you know, money is important, that sort of thing, but we don't really have many words for love. You remember that one?
That is true. That was the anthropology episode. Good times.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you should, and that means you should go listen back to our Anthropology 101 episode where we interview RF member Orbit.
Who is the professor of anthropology.
And sociology, I think, now.
Yes. And as you can hear, I need a new muffler.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the sound of me needing a muffler. So, all you kids, send your mufflers my way.
Yeah, it's not really muffling anything, is it?
No.
So, let's see. Well, you're speaking about jobs. I was saying I need one. I'm just a full-time student right now. I wish I had the time to make money. But this summer I do have an internship. I don't think I've mentioned that. But I'll be doing some little summer camp things through my school, getting paid for it. It involves STEM subject teaching. That's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it works into the subject of my study. So I'll be doing that this summer, making some money. I'll probably buy a decent drum set for the band, or for me, you know, but for the band, you know, and so that'll be nice.
That is pretty exciting. An intern's really, like, the way to do it. You need lots of those.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing to have. It'd be good on my resume, you know, some more teaching experience for one thing. You know, they're trying to get more people to teach the STEM subject schools, and that's part of what this program is. It's paid for by a grant and all that. And as I mentioned, I have a little bit of experience teaching English, and so it'd be interesting to, you know, go a little bit further down the teaching road. As part of this internship, I also have an online teaching course. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I don't really plan on going into teaching as a career, but, you know, really, who knows? I'm open to the idea.
I just want everyone to know that though I am technically on my phone and in the car, I have the phone on speakerphone so as not to be violating the rules of the road and driving the dog. Because it's on speakerphone, it counts as a hands-free device.
That's right, kids. Remember, don't break the law. Drive, you know, and don't talk on the phone. Booze it, lose it, do drugs, no drugs do you, blah, blah, blah. Follow his example.
They actually, they say that texting and driving and cell phone usage causes more accidents than drinking and driving. Now, my friend had everybody get that fact, and he just simply said that there are more people on the road texting and driving than drinking and driving at any given moment of the day, which is a fair point.
Yeah, I definitely know texting and driving would be worse than drinking, I think. Especially with touchscreen phones. I mean, with regular phones, like, you can feel the keys and you don't even have to look at it, you know. I'm not necessarily speaking from personal experience, but with touchscreen, there's no way to do anything without looking at it. It's very dangerous to try to operate a touchscreen in the car while driving.
That
I would never
true.
Try
it's that. Where you can literally text blindly.
Yeah, you know, that's the tactile feedback, which is, you know, just another reason why I don't like touchscreen phones. Touchscreens in general is neat, it's a novelty, and it's cool as sort of an extra peripheral type input, but, you know, we need buttons, man.
Yeah, but it adds no feasibility onto what even, like, the mouse design had, you know? I mean, that means that it has strong applications, particularly for, like, tablets and stuff. But overall, I see, like, they have computers that are starting to integrate touchscreen. I don't see how that added integration is actually increasing the product overall.
Right. Yeah, it's the main upside from everything I've learned and also just, you know, common sense from my point of view. Like, the main upside to touchscreen is that a button can generally only have so many functions. However, a touchscreen with the right software can be used in very many different ways. So it's really diverse, but it should not be a primary user interface because it does lack a lot of things. I mean, we didn't need, you know, spell correction stuff whenever we had keyboards, you know, because we didn't make mistakes like that often. The fact that there's a spell correction thing on all touchscreen phones just kind of admits that touchscreens are totally inadequate and that they need it, you know?
I mean, I think autocorrect is going to happen no matter what. People are terrible spellers and always have been terrible spellers, and that's fine. Language is an alive thing, so, like, whenever we get, people get so stuck up on things. Especially when it's clear enough to understand what the words are most of the time anyway.
Yeah, and it's not autocorrect that I have a problem with, it's just the touchscreens.
Yeah, I've never liked touchscreens. It's just hard to find smartphones that aren't touchscreen anymore. That being said, touchscreen, especially for web application, has the added bonus of being cross-platform. So you develop a touchscreen, you know, application, you know, it can be used on smartphones, it can be used on tablets, Kindle Fires, Windows 8, you know, and you have such a large variety of applications, whereas a lot of the other stuff now, it's not as integrated into various forms of technology.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to sound smarter than I am. To the tech guy.
I'm hoping that, you know, it's mainly a fad and gradually touchscreens will die down a little bit. I don't ever expect them to go away, but hopefully they'll die down a little bit so that they're not such a main thing anymore.
Well, I thought it was a fact, too, you know, until I found out Windows 8 was coming with it. And I was like, maybe I was wrong. You know? But I mean, Windows 8 has a whole application, but it's kind of hard to imagine that it's just a fad at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I don't know, Windows 8, not many people even liked it, and it's not,
Has anyone liked the Windows product since XP, though? Let's be real. I can't really...
Windows 7, okay. Windows 7 is
no,
fine.
No, it wasn't. Stop saying that. It was just better
Windows
than
8. Windows 7 is okay.
No,
Windows 7 is better than Windows 8.
Windows 8 came out. Windows 7 came out, everyone hated. Windows 8 came out, people loved 7.
No, Windows 7 has been fine, man. Windows Vista, that was awful, but Windows 7 is fine.
Oh, God.
It has expanded, things that XP didn't have. I took a test on this. I'm certified, man.
Fair enough. Certifiably resident tech guy says Windows 7 is good. You hear it? You hear it here first, folks. Windows 7 beats Windows 8.
Yes, Windows 7 does, because Windows 8 is designed for touchscreen devices, and it doesn't serve a purpose on non-touchscreen devices. It's just messy crap. Like the, I don't even know what you'd call it, but the page that comes up whenever you touch the start menu, like all the things that can fit into a tiny start menu in the corner of your screen take up two screens that you have to swipe through, and they're just these giant things. You know, there's no reason for that unless you have to touch things because you need things big enough to touch.
I'll be honest, I have a Windows 8 computer, and I don't use any of its features.
You don't need it. Yeah, you don't need it. Windows 8 is an unnecessary, like, it's not even an innovation, so I can't say it's an unnecessary innovation. It's just unnecessary.
It's an unnecessary complication by adding in all those, like, first off, I don't use apps. Since when do I use apps on a computer? Like, that's, like, I don't understand, like, my phone is app-based. But it's not necessarily the way that I've treated a computer until
apps is just a neat little word they've come up with for the mobile devices. It's just short for applications, and computers have had applications for forever, you know.
That is true. That
so,
is true.
Yeah.
Apps have always been apps. It's just the...
Yeah.
I guess apps in the current mentality of our societal paradigm isn't really that different than what they were. That's just how we think about them.
Yeah.
But technically, StarCraft 2 is an app, right?
It's a game. I don't know if it's an application. I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know the definition of that. If it's a program, and I'm not sure if application and program are synonymous.
Wouldn't a game just be a program whose application is to have fun?
All right, Wikipedia says that application software is a set of computer programs designed to permit the user to perform a group of coordinated functions, tasks, or activities. It cannot run on itself, but is dependent on system software to execute. Now, it's just like most programs.
All programs are apps.
Yes. An application is a computer program designed to help people perform an activity. Yeah, it's an application of the system, you know, resources, basically. You're applying that stuff. So, anyway, we could go on about this, but I don't want to leave the episode we've been listening to too far in the past so that we forget it before we continue. So we'll go ahead and get into the second half of this episode. Not really appropriate to call the second half, as it's only about 10 minutes long. But go ahead and continue that. If Itty's still around, we may have time to talk a little bit more before we end today's episode. So with that, here I bring you back to our episode from 2011, November, I believe, on our old podcast, Pondering Nomads, where we interviewed RF member SageTree.
All right, that was This Is My Religion by Ziggy Marley.
Nice.
So apparently your religion is love?
My religion explains it clearly.
So speaking of love...
All people's religion, love, or is at least meant to be love, so kind of universalistic, I suppose.
Yeah. And speaking of love, a religion that's very full of love would be Sufism, and I know you had a little bit of experience, or at least... some part of your spiritual approach has some influence or inspiration from Sufism.
I would say a deep interest.
I haven't been able to locate a group to be with for to engage in an official manner, but I think it's a really beautiful way to look at things. It's looks at love and light, and those are big, easy universal principles to understand. But Sufism, I don't know, it reminds me of bhakti, potentially, in Hinduism, or I don't know, just it really captured me. It's just that one-sidedness of the vision of Sufism, and just to do everything, and I don't know, it's just bringing your heart completely to the idea of dissolving into this idea. It's not transcending anything, it's going deeply into things with a lot of heart.
Is that what in a mystic type of path?
Oh yeah, Sufism is definitely, that is what it is, I would say. That's kind of the opening up.
So what exactly does it mean to have, like, what is mysticism? What's a mystical experience? And what does it mean for you?
I think I said it another day recently that kind of maybe surprised me when it came out of my mouth, that it kind of feels like the wind, I suppose. It's, you can feel it, you can tell that it's there, you can see what it does, you can expose yourself to it and wait for it, but the wind won't come if the wind doesn't want to. And you can't see it, and when it goes away, you can't tell where it goes. And you can't make it happen, it just is. And you can feel it in different parts of your body, and yeah, it's a hard thing to pin down exactly. It's unique for every person. I think when I feel it, I feel like there's a glowing light that comes from kind of behind my eyes. I feel like the light behind my eyelids gets a little bit grayer. It's a little bit more light in it, and I wouldn't describe it as a euphoria necessarily, but it has it sometimes. But
is meditation involved?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to approach it, but I would say like a more meditative or absorptive state would be conducive to that. I think that would be a typical place to find it, but I don't think that necessarily means that you couldn't find it in your work, like a Zen experience or something like that too. It could just come upon you all at once. When
does like differ from like Gnosticism?
I don't know that it's so concerned about knowledge as much as it is just being in something. It's not figuring it out or giving it a language necessarily. It's just more about just being the I am, just becoming one with that and one pointed in your focus. It's more like a concentration practice than a jhana practice of knowledge or anything like that, which I'd interpret Gnosticism to kind of, I don't know, I guess it's not physical knowledge, but
yeah, it seems that Gnosis and jhana are very similar concepts. Though Gnosticism itself, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of Gnosticism, so it's very...
I feel like Gnosticism uses more language and has more hierarchy in a lot of its language or how it goes, and I have encountered it a lot as a dualistic Gnosticism as well, and I don't know that Sufism has such a dualistic tendency in its language as I experience it anyway.
You know, you use your language metaphor twice, but I don't think we got a chance to introduce that into the show. Do you want to explain that?
Language, okay. We all communicate whether we have language or not, but different religions, different religious language, I guess. People have their own ways and of describing things. And I call that language. Like, there's some of the theology is language, some of the terms and vocabularies are language, and yeah, I don't know, that's where I use language for. Just in place of saying tradition or whatever. Just, I think it gives it a little bit more of a verb tense instead of such a noun form. It's a little more brief. It breathes a bit.
I found that interesting because we talked about in anthropology class. I remember learning, symbolism, varies in culture, but that's the main thing that makes up culture, and the language itself is symbolism.
One of the great doctrines that I like in Buddhism is called the Two Truths Doctrine. That speaks about the ultimate truth and the relative truth, and that the relative truth is how we communicate higher truths. But ultimately, they're just the finger at the pointing at the moon, as they say.
Right.
It's kind of like socialism, right?
Sorry.
Universalism.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it kind of opens itself up to people expressing things how they know how to say it. That we can say this or that or the other thing, but ultimately, even in a group of people, that we all have our own ways of identifying with words, even though they're in the dictionary or they're in church rule books or religious codes. It's we all relate to it differently, so we all describe it differently. Even if we use the same language, we might not have the same sensation in our body.
Okay, you mentioned some type of chant that you went to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, recently I've joined it's patterned after Gregorian chant, but it's in the Anglican tradition, so it's manipulated a little bit. But it just sounds, I don't know. If you've heard Christian chant before, that's what it sounds like. It's very, very simple. It just goes up and down by half steps, and it's very breath-oriented, and it's a really neat contemplative practice. The Anglican church here in the town where I live brought back into their liturgy. And that's
the end. So I wanted to thank you for being on.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Definitely a blast. And so yes, thank you, and thank you everyone for listening. And we'll be doing science next week, so that should be fun. And hopefully we can have Ben come on again, because that was definitely a lot of fun, fascinating.
Yeah, I would definitely like to have you back on sometime.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of got a few cans of worms open that didn't get to get too deep into any of them.
Yeah, there's a lot to expand on.
Yeah, it's a good introduction. I guess I know my way around the room now a little.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to come back if you guys ever want to. Just let me know. I'd be interested.
Most definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Everybody have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Well, peace and happiness.
So if you're just joining us, that was an episode from E.T. and I's old podcast, Pondering Nomads. I recorded November 2011, where we interviewed Sage Tree. And I would like to repeat our sentiments from the end of that we would totally like to have Sage Tree on again sometime. I don't know if he's been on the forums much lately. I saw him a few weeks ago. But he's always welcome. I think it'd be nice to interview him and see how things have gone so far since then. What do you think, E.T.?
I would definitely enjoy having a follow-up on that interview. And Ben is someone I've kept in contact with, both on RF and on Facebook. So I didn't see what he's up to in his current day-to-day stuff. And to compare and contrast between, what is it, almost 3 years, 2 years, would be very enlightening for us, for RF, and for him himself. So that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to just do another interview. Different podcasts. We're older now. Things are different. We were talking about both our voices sounded different. I think both of them sounded deeper. And I was thinking it's probably because we both smoked back then, so that might be it.
Yeah, right, like 4 months, by the way.
Four months.
How long has it
been?
Well, named is the one you've been keeping.
It was right when we first started, and we've done 13 episodes, so cut that in half, and it's been about 7 weeks.
Okay, and that was already my 1 month mark at that point, so I had another 4 weeks.
Okay, cool. So it's, yeah, it's been about 3 months. Yeah.
I think it's definitely been 3 months, so we're probably entering in the fourth month, maybe. I'm really bad with, like, dates and times and stuff. I don't understand.
It's all blend together, unless it's, you know, specific. So do you still, like, miss smoking, or do you ever crave nicotine, anything like that?
Oh, constantly. I've been miserable since I quit.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I quit a couple times, and I ended up getting a breathing problem from smoking. So, you know, I pushed it too far and made it worse and worse. So there, let that be a lesson to those of you who still smoke. You're young. You think nothing will ever happen. I mean, you know, it was nothing life-threatening, but it's really inconvenient. I take medication to keep my lungs from getting too sensitive to stuff like allergies. So, you know, generic don't smoke plug right there. But I missed it. I enjoyed just the act of smoking. It wasn't just the nicotine. Smoking cigarettes was nice.
Don't remind me. I'm trying to remember the bad part.
Well, you know, the coughing and not being able to run. I remember whenever it really first hit me, I forgot what I was even doing, but we were doing some kind of games that involved, you know, moving around a lot, and I started getting out of breath, and that's when it finally hit me that, wow, you know, this is actually, you know, making me get out of breath. I had been relatively athletic for most of my teen years, so that was a weird realization at that time. So, you know, it is definitely better off without that.
Actually, I think one of the strongest things that really got me was a coworker of mine. I've been big into nutrition and gardening and all that stuff. Showed me a study that simply demonstrated that nicotine and tobacco smoking cause you to absorb less nutrients, and that it led to nutrient deficiency. And it's simply because it affected your body in a way that prevented the absorption of certain nutrients.
Yes, I think that has to do with how nicotine constricts your blood vessels, partially at least. But yeah.
Interesting. They did another study on alcohol, and they found that while alcoholics were likely to be nutrient deficient, it wasn't because of the alcohol they were nutrient deficient. It was mostly because they were alcoholics who didn't take care of themselves.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So alcohol isn't bad. Alcoholism is. Well, from a nutritional standpoint, alcohol is bad for you.
Yeah, because essentially it is a toxin. It just depends on, well, you know, in toxicity, it's not the substance but the dose that causes something to be toxic. But in general, I mean, that's what alcohol is. That's why it gives you a buzz, a fun buzz.
Well, technically, everything is toxic. Even water is toxic.
Oh, that's true. Everything takes a toll on the body. Yeah.
Except for marijuana, which you can't overdose on. But, you know, we demonize it in our country. What do I tell you?
Well, it's a domino effect. You know, it's legal in 2 states,
three,
in a lot of states.
Washington,
Colorado,
and Alaska. Don't forget about Alaska.
That's the most recent one, I think. I might have heard that, but yeah. It's obviously a domino effect. Within the next, I'd like to think within the next 5 years, but within the next 10 years, totally legal in the United States, I think.
What I still can't rack my head around is the same state that voted for Sarah Palin also voted to legalize weed.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I can't get into their heads about why they would have voted for Sarah Palin, but there's a lot of illegal stuff going on in Alaska. So I guess it just makes sense that they would go ahead and legalize that.
Okay. You hear that story, sir? Alaska is the shadiest of the 50 states.
I think they have the highest rate of domestic violence, or one of the highest in the entire United States.
And here I thought they had the longest winter.
I think they have a lot of things. Let's see. I think you may have just dropped on accident. Shows you're still here, but I can't hear you.
Oh, I see the muted button. Oh,
there you are. There you are. Okay.
What did I get caught off at?
Something about Alaska. I don't know.
I was just ranting about Alaska. You know, it's not the lack of sun that makes it dark. It's the crime and domestic violence.
Yes, that's what makes Alaska dark for 6 months of the year. gallows humor. And so that was our segment, rants, random rants on states. Well, I suppose that this is about a good time to end the episode. Coming up within next week, we will be doing an episode on mental health awareness. Next week is Mental Health Awareness Week, in the UK at least, I think. I think there's a few different mental health holidays, but this is the one we decided to attach to. As I
Which
may have
is because of Google, by the way. We Googled Mental Health Awareness Day, and it only one site came up, and it was some UK site, so you're like, okay.
Yeah. So we'll go with the UK. The UK is okay. And so I may have mentioned to a few people I have had mental illness. I have dealt with clinical depression and general anxiety for the past 6 years or so, thus the smoking cigarettes we talked about, you know. And so this is sort of a topic close to my heart. I think bringing awareness is good for everybody, those with mental health issues and those without. It just helps to make it more accepted so we can treat it better. So we'll be doing that next week. We're not sure on the date yet. And in addition, we're hoping to do another episode with an RF member about some Germanic religion, the Norse Germanic religion yesteryear. So we'll be trying to organize these things. They should be coming up next week. And we'll see what happens on Thursday. Do you have any closing comments, Itty?
We'll do better next time, in the words of Lewis Matt Miller, and in the words of Itty my OJ. Good night, good morning, good afternoon.
And good now. And also, I want to remind you that less is more with Radio RF. Thanks, everybody.
I was just not coming out.